Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Burney, CEO and founder of Content Marketing Plaza, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level. Now, if you are someone who wants to grow a digital business, one of the big things you need to have is a funnel. So if you are interested in me creating your entire funnel for free, let me know. My email is in the show notes if you want to reach out to me about that. But one of the things that we're going to talk about in this episode is how do we get rid of the toxic emotions in our lives? Because our emotions really affect not just us, but a lot of other people and close ones. So if you have bad emotions, if you have the toxic ones in your life, that's going to negatively impact business performance. That's going to negatively impact your relationships. And also animals have a reaction to your emotions. So they will essentially mirror your emotions. So something I learned very recently from today's guest who is going to join us today. She works with animals all over the world who are sick, injured, have a terminal illness, or suffer from trauma due to previous abuse. She runs a unique membership site where women and their fur babies in all stages of health have community and support because research proves that animals take on stress of their human guardians. And this usually leads to illness in the animal's body if our emotions are not in check. So her business was featured in a best-selling Hay House published book, Women Rocking Business. She has been interviewed by the International Animal Protection Organization in Defense of Animals and Truth Cat Radio. And because of her activism, she was interviewed by the New York Times, CNN, BBC, and was on the cover of People magazine in July of 2015. Today's guest for episode 338 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Rachel Augusta. Rachel, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Awesome. Thank you. I felt like I should be walking out into a stadium of screaming people like, yeah. That was really great. Thank you.
My pleasure, Rachel. It is a pleasure to have you on the show. And I feel like a lot of us have emotions where, and thoughts also, where we think in a way that we shouldn't be thinking, whether it's a limiting belief or it's just a pessimistic view. I feel like these different thoughts can boil up. It's important that we put an end to them. But before we get into that, I'm wondering if you could talk about how you got started with your activism and your love for animals.
Yeah. My activism, it actually started wanting to protect wolves. I live in Minnesota. Minnesota is the only state in the United States that has its original wolf population. And there's only, you know, there's very few of them left. So my activism actually started with wolves and trying to protect them. And then it just expanded and it grew from there, from wolves to all animals. And, you know, and it just keeps growing. Even with our own animal companions, you know, people who have animal companions don't actually have the same rights as people who have human children. If you have fur babies, you know, you can't move into apartment buildings with them a lot of times. You can't fly with them on airlines. If there's natural disasters, a lot of people end up having to leave their animals behind because they're not allowed into hotels. They're not allowed on airplanes. And so it just kept growing and expanding. And so that's really when that started, probably in about 2012. I became an animal rights activist. And how I started working with animals was because my own animal companion, my soul sister, I'd like to think of her as my baby, my fur baby, my cat Holly, got really super sick. And that would have been in 2013, actually. So about the same time I got into animal rights activism. She got really sick. And at that time, she was 17 years old. And so the vet's response to her illness was, well, she's an old cat. We'll just let it be. We'll just let her be sick and die. And that really wasn't a good answer for me. It wasn't yes, I knew she was old, but you know, when you're sick, whether you're human or not, you want to feel like you have some options.
Right.
You know, or even just be treated with respect. And the vet, because of her lack of bedside manner, I realized that if Holly was going to get any sort of help, it was going to have to be from me. I was going to have to be the mama bear to do it. And at the time, I was actually in the process of starting a manufacturing company to make clothing for women. But put that on hold so that I could become her medical team. And what I did was I jumped in, I started taking these classes that were being offered at the university in Minnesota to help you connect with your animal and really calm them down and calm their body down. And the reason why that's beneficial to health is because when we're relaxed, our brain creates endorphins, which allows our muscles to relax. And actually, this is really interesting. You know, if you think about stressed business people, if we're always in a state of stress, we can't get these simple triggers in our body to function. And so this is why, you know, if you are a business owner, it's really bad for your health to not ever have these like happiness moments or relaxation in your life, because if you can't get your brain to release serotonin and endorphins, your muscles won't relax. But we need our muscles to relax so that our blood can become oxygenated. And when our blood's oxygenated, our body can absorb nutrients more efficiently and allows us to create digestive enzymes. And then our hormones regulate. And when our hormones regulate, our body starts to detox and we build up new cell growth. And that builds up our immune system. And so I took these classes to learn how to do this with her. And we saw miraculous results. I say miraculous, but what it was the body was starting to work with the brain, and the brain was starting to work with the body. And all of a sudden, all of my friends started giving me their animals. Here is my sick cat. You know, fix them. And then I was like, okay. And so all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I have a line out my door with all these, my friends, and, you know, bringing me their sick animals. And I was like, oh my God, I think this is my job. Like, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not supposed to be a clothing manufacturer for women. I'm supposed to be helping animals. So Holly was really my first patient, but I've since worked with thousands. Mm. Yeah. And that's how I actually got into it.
And it's really interesting how you didn't know you were going to go in this direction. It just happened, and you saw the difference you made in Holly, and then you just wanted to expand that onward. So I definitely like the story behind it. And I think one of the lessons we should get here, I mean, like, our emotions really have a big impact on us. And if we're stressed, we're not able to perform at our optimal level. And I think people already know that, but I don't think people realize how much that affects the other people around them. So one of the things that I do want to ask is, like, how do we deal with, you know, like, life isn't all like, you know, it's not all uphills. I mean, there are some challenges, but like, how can we keep our emotions in check and reduce the stress in our lives?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, and like, I have to say, Mark, when you first asked me to be on the show, I was like, really? Because this is about business. I don't know if I could talk business, but I'm seeing here now there is such a deep connection because I am an entrepreneur and knowing the effects of stress on our body. And I just want to say and speak into, like, I know so many people who were like working on Wall Street and then all of a sudden, you know, have this crazy autoimmune disease where their whole body's breaking down, or, you know, these CEOs and business people that are like making it to the top, and then all of a sudden they have stage 4 cancer and they have all this stuff because it was so much stress, such long hours working, so much stress. And even though they love what they're doing for their business, they're not taking care of themselves. Right. And so that connection, you know, to drive that home, I really understand how this does really, you know, like, apply to your show. You know, like you said, it's not all going to be fields of roses. I'm sorry, I live with a cat. New kitty. It's not going to be a field of roses. Bad things happen. What can we do? And one thing I really talk to people about, I talk to clients or just on stages, is smell. So we have, you know, your outer environment and your inner environment. And those are two places in your life where you should be thinking about what are the smells going on. And our inner environment, so animals, and I just want to mention this, all of our emotions have a smell, all of them. Your happiness smells, your sadness smells, anger has a smell. You know, the human nose can't smell it because our nose is probably one of our least qualities of, you know, like it's not very good. But animals can smell all of our emotions. And so we want to, what I talk to people is like, what is your personal perfume? Like if I were to ask you on a scale of 1 to 100, could you map out what you smell like based on your emotions? And it gets people starting to think like, oh, I'm like 60% happiness, you know, 30% resentment and 10% tired. And we start to think about that and go into those places like, why are you feeling resentful? And, or why are you feeling exhaustion? And once we can start mapping out your emotions, we can think of some things to do for you. So there is a scientist in Vienna who said, because they were able to tell that animals can smell our emotions, and not only that, but it creates cortisol in our bodies, negative emotions do, and cortisol in their bodies, mm-hmm. in your animal companion's body. What do you do? And his solution was to take a shower and just wash the smell out of, off of you.
Oh, interesting.
Right. But that's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on it.
Right. That's
like, why not go deeper into why you're actually creating the smell? And so, you know, I personally, why we talked about your inner smell, your outer smell, I use essential oils. Like I'm always diffusing, and I diffuse therapeutic grade essential oils to help create a calmness around my desk and around my space when I'm working. I like to think that, you know, if we've all lived with animals, we know that we're like, I have to work. And they're like, no, you should play ball.
Yeah.
I have to work. No, we should cuddle. I think we should spoon. I actually feel like they're the superior, you know, animals on this planet to us. They've figured out life in a way that we haven't. And so I also feel, and I've been testing this actually with myself over the last couple of months with my cat. You know, cats are kind of like your union representatives. They know when it's time to stop working, or your dogs are like, okay, it's time to take a break, get up, go run around. And I feel like we should be listening to them more. You know, we always think like they should be listening to us. No, we really should be listening to them. And so one thing I've been applying in my own life, and I've noticed a drastic difference in my happiness, is that when my cat's like, dance break, it's time to get up and dance and, and play with some sparkle balls, I'm like, all right, let's do it. And it has really actually changed my productivity for the better, because I get up, I dance around, I play with her, and then we both feel good and she goes back and lays down and then I get back to work. Mm. And it keeps me in the moment. And you know what else it does is it creates connection. Yeah. And that's one thing I think a lot of humans are missing in their lives is connection.
Yeah, I mean, that's really solid insight. I mean, it gives you the balance. It's not like an animal, like a cat or dog or whatever, wants to play with you 24/7. It's just like play a little bit and then it just goes rest in its corner or spot that it chooses. Right. And an interesting thing about that is, I mean, you have this idea of a business, and I feel like business is great. And we hit on the negative side of it. We hit on the side where, you know, you could overwork, you could overstretch yourself. And the Wall Street example, I mean, that's pretty much spot on. It's like cliche at this point how people rise up and then, you know, they get like medical issues. And then, you know, you spend the first half of your life trying to accumulate money, and the second half spending that money to bring back your health that you sacrificed in the first half. So that's a Dalai Lama reference for anyone wondering how I came up with that. But one of the things I want to bring up there is that, you know, business is very rewarding. Like, I'm choosing to host a podcast, Breakthrough Success. You get so much choice, but you also have the, I could interview people for 20 hours a day if I want to. I might, you know, fall apart with my body, but I could do that. So how can we strike a balance between like having this control, like doing the work, not, you know, like only working for like 2 hours a week or like something ridiculous like that, but not doing like 18, 20 hours a day, which I believe some people actually do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's totally actually when you were talking. So I used to live in Hollywood, and you know, the joke between Hollywood and New York, where you are, is that New Yorkers brag about how much they work. And yeah. Angelenos brag about how little they work. So, you know, it's true. The balance between the two. And, you know, it's like a lot of us go into business because it's because we want freedom of time. You know, like we want to have this freedom. We want financial freedom. But why do you really want financial freedom? Because you want your life. Mm. And so if you're working your whole life and then all of a sudden you get to 40 and 50, and then by the time you're 50 and 60, you're just a broken down bag of bones. What was the point of that? And actually there's studies to prove that if people don't do a lot of self-care in their 40s, they end up on a lot of medications in their 50s and 60s. Mm. And their body just sort of gives up. So for me, it really is about self-care. I probably take 4 or 5 baths a week with like a lot of Epsom salt and, you know, and just like submerge myself and listen to really good blues and music and make sure that I'm enjoying myself. And I make sure to connect with people. I feel like, you know, especially if you're an entrepreneur that works from home, and you're just not getting that, those deep connections with people. Like there, you know, and there are times here where it's like 4 or 5 days where I'm like in the winter, I'm like, oh my God, I haven't left my house because minus 40.
Minnesota too.
Yeah. It's Minnesota. And I'm like, meh. And so and I'm like, I have had zero human interaction. But I feel like finding those connections, like being online isn't enough. Being on Facebook isn't enough. Being on Twitter or Instagram, it's not enough. You need to go out. You need to like sit with another human, like touch them, be touched, you know, connect with your own animals. And that's why I feel like they are our teachers, you know, they want to connect with us. And so we should be connecting with them instead of like, okay, yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah, we'll play ball later. Okay, in 8 hours, but you know, it's like, yeah, let's connect. Let's sit here and, you know, and play or snuggle or whatever it is and both regulate our breathing, you know, and they've done a lot of studies that people who have animals are healthier because we breathe differently because we're more relaxed. And going back to my original thing, when we're relaxed, our brain can create these chemicals that relax our muscles and heals our body and creates new cell growth. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's really impressive. I mean, when you think about like, we're in the moment when we have our emotional responses to different things, but it really affects us on such a deeper level and not just what we're seeing on the outside. It's as we've talked about, like, you know, it affects others. It also affects you on a deeper level as well, because I mean, people, as Rachel mentioned, in their 40s, then, you know, 50s and 60s, it could be a little bit harder if they're not taking care of themselves right away. And that human interaction is certainly essential. Rachel and I, for instance, we were both at the New Media Summit. That's how we first got connected. And I think doing these events, like, it's great for interaction because, especially if you're an entrepreneur, like a content creator, like, there's a lot of glamour on the surface, but you know, you're just by yourself in a room talking to a screen or talking to one person on the other side. Right. So those events really matter, not just for a face-to-face, but it could also be one of the biggest things that grows your business. So I'd consider those kinds of things for both of those reasons.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, do you have any good self-care? Do you do any good self-care, Mark?
I exercise daily. That's my big one.
Your happy place. What's that?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's the thing is like, actually at the New Media Summit, I think Steve Ulscher said life can be really short or it can be really long. And, you know, and that's true. And, you know, I'm always of the mind that life is too short to not be happy. But the truth is that, and the, you know, the reality is that bad things can happen to us and can throw us out of that place. And so the point isn't to always be happy and pretend that you don't have emotions. Like if you have emotions, go and feel them, but don't hang out there. You know, don't hang out in anxiety. Don't hang out in depression, like work through it. And, you know, the thing too is about a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, we have fur babies, you know, a lot of us have fur babies over human children because this is what our life and our schedule allows. And, you know, so you work these long hours and then you're stressed and you don't feel well and your animals love you and they love you so much that it stresses them out that you're stressed. So then they end up sick. And so now, you know, like your best friend, the person who knows all of your secrets, who spoons with you and enforces playtime on you, maybe has cancer. And, you know, and it's because you couldn't get out of that state of anxiety or out of that state of depression. And now it's even worse because the person that you love most, your, you know, furry companion is dying because, you know, they were so deeply connected with your emotions. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I mean, our emotions, again, they have a really big impact on people. I know I've said that a lot, but I mean, it's still worth repeating. And I feel like there are some people who, I mean, this episode's really hitting me hard right now. And I feel like there are some people who, like, it's hitting hard as well, because, you know, you think about your dog, you think about your cat, you think about the animal, and it's not something that we always do. Like, it, you know, it's sometimes other people, because, you know, the animal's like, doesn't really say anything. Like, you know, my dog's like going to raise his paw and it's like, you've been stressing me out for the past week. You need to calm down. But it certainly affects them. So I'm wondering if you could share with us, what do you believe holds most people back from just being able to let go of the baggage? Because I know that when an emotion strikes you right away, you just got to let it out. But some people, they hold on. So what do you believe?
Yeah. You know, this isn't my original thought, but it's something I subscribe to. And actually I heard this from Joe Dispenza. Do you know who Joe Dispenza is?
No.
Okay. He's a phenomenal doctor and he works with the brain and body. And, what he says is that we actually become addicted to our emotions and we have between 60 and 70,000 thoughts a day, and 90% of them are recycled. So we're always living in the past. And so we have these thoughts all day long. Some of them we're aware of and some of them we're not aware of. But what he says explains that's happening is that when we have an emotion, our brain creates a chemical, and that chemical will move through your body and attach to a protein. And so let's say my emotion is self-pity. My brain, every time I feel self-pity, my brain releases these chemicals that go attached to proteins. Well, the proteins in my body are like, I like those self-pity emotions. Let's get the brain to think about something that's going to, make Rachel feel self-pity. And so all of a sudden the body starts to become the brain. The body wants the chemical. So it gets the brain to think about something and then the brain releases the chemical and attaches to the protein. And what happens over time is those proteins end up breaking down and causing disease in the body because we don't ever get new cell growth. So you can have those for hatred, resentment towards your parents, you know, whatever it is, hatred for, you know, your client, whatever it is, your brain's going to start just releasing those chemicals. And so what Joe Dispenza says is that we're actually addicted to them. And what you have to do is you have to catch yourself in those moments and go, why am I thinking this? And I started doing that and catching myself, like, you know, I'd just be walking down the sidewalk and all of a sudden I was thinking about somebody who had wronged me in high school. And I was like, why am I thinking about who wronged me more than 20 years ago? And then I realized, oh, I have probably been thinking about this, even if it was a quick fleeting thought. I mean, if we have 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, we're not tuning into all of them. I've been thinking about this probably since high school, and I've been getting some sort of a high off of it. And so what he says, and I agree with this, is that you have to say, and this is super nerdy, you know, thou shalt not pass, like stop thinking that. And so I catch myself being like, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm going to switch my thought around. Mm-hmm. And switching your thought to something positive, which, going back to animals, I swear, this is why they're so good for us, because, you know, animals don't hold on to this stuff. Even those who've been like really deeply abused, once you get them out of that situation and you let them know there's a new life, they can usually come out of that on their own. Whereas humans don't. You know, we feel wronged and then we're going to hold on to that until the day we die. And, you know, whereas a cat might be like, let's just make muffins. Or dogs like, let's just play frisbee. I know you're having a bad day. Playing frisbee will make it all better. And I swear, that's like sage advice, you know? Like sometimes, yeah, let's just go play a game of ball. It's going to make it all better. And it really does, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like animals have a really big impact on us.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm on vacation, I notice the missing presence because, you know, you can't take an animal on an airplane as we talked about mm-hmm. towards the beginning of the episode. So, I mean, they have a really big impact on us. And another thing that has a big impact on us are the habits that we develop in our lives. So I'm wondering if you can share with us some of the habits that you have developed that you would say are pretty important to your success.
Yeah. Letting myself sleep has been one of them. You know, I think we pride ourselves on, as Americans, she's like, the interview's done. We pride ourselves on like lack of sleep. You know, like I only slept 2 hours. I only slept 3 hours. When I found out that Einstein needed at least 10 hours to be able to think straight, I was like, well, if he needs 10 hours, right, why do I need 10 hours? He's a genius, you know? So I let myself sleep and, you know, and I don't feel weird or guilty about it. I just let myself have that rest. For me, food makes a big difference. I will down the brightest green kale smoothie on the planet that sometimes, you know, kind of smells bad and tastes bad, but it does, it does its trick. You know, I'm all about eating, you know, food that's going to sustain you. Yeah, of course I want chocolate pancakes, right, for breakfast, but you can't do that every day. Right. So it's the simple things. It's like sleeping, eating healthy food, drinking water. So you don't have those high sugar, you know, sugar lows and sugar dips, which also mess with your hormones.
Right.
As before, I'm a huge lover of essential oils. I use therapeutic grade essential oils. I've been trained to use them with animals, so I know which ones are safe, which ones aren't. And I usually have a diffuser going that brings, I diffuse essential oils that are really good for calming anxiety. I know which ones are good for depression. I'm able to, you know, I probably use about 30 essential oils a day. Truthfully, I know that sounds, people are like 30 and I'm like, yep, all day long. And it can really, it really affects the way I feel. You know, if you think about it, it's, they say that one of the things, best things you can do for depression is walking through a forest. Hmm. And part of the reason is because of the smell of the trees. And so essential oils, you can get those scents, you can get those smells and put them in a bottle. And so one thing we haven't really talked about, and the reason why I use essential oils, is because humans have 10 million neuron receptors in their brain associated with smell. A cat has 80 million and a dog has 400 million.
Wow.
Right? So when we smell something, And there are memories that can only be triggered through smell. So when we smell something, what happens is it goes into our olfactory bulb, and then it starts to trigger our nervous system. So, you know, people are like, essential oils are woo-woo. It's like, yeah, I know, I can understand why people would think that, but they actually do trigger your nervous system. And there are essential oils that can, they've actually been able to prove there is PTSD and trauma in people that can only be released with the use of essential oils in addition to what other treatments they're doing, because the oils are able to move through the blood barrier of the brain. So if a dog or cat has severe trauma from really bad abuse they've been through, I will use essential oils, really specific ones, to help them release that trauma through their olfactory bulb. So I use essential oils all day long, and I try to connect with friends as much as possible. And then I'm really into bath culture. And bath culture is a thing where it's like, it's not just jumping in the bath and like, okay, I took a bath. Like, I make it an event. I have twinkle lights. I have plants. I put tons of salt. I do more essential oils. I put clay in my bath. Sometimes they go for 2 hours, and it's my time to listen to music and decompress and just meditate and be in this space of healing. So I'm living a pretty awesome life.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like you have this set target for a lifestyle that you are achieving, because people have different definitions of awesome, but as long as you're living your definition of awesome, that's what matters. And one thing I want to emphasize is that in Rachel's response to that, the different habits that she's utilizing, one of the big things I got from that, I think this was like most of the conversation, is your body, because your body is connected to your mind. And if you don't treat your body right, then how do you expect your mind to do what it should be doing, in the sense would not have this toxicity running through it? So Rachel's treating her body right. She's getting the sleep. She's using the essential oil. She's doing what she needs to do to feel like she's treating her body right. And that's something that we should all definitely take to heart as well. One of the other habits for me personally is to do a lot of self-education. That's what I believe in. One of the reasons I host this podcast, I love learning. As I mean, if you listen to a bunch of these episodes, you get the idea. You know you're learning a lot from this show, hopefully. So I'm wondering, Rachel, in that in mind, if you could share with us a book recommendation that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Yeah, actually there's a couple. I'm like, can I name them? Okay. So you want to know one of my favorite books, and I'll tell you that I love listening to books, because I like to go to the gym, which is also on my list. I love listening to music, walking around the lake, getting outside. So I love listening. So, one of my favorite books is, You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Have you read that?
I have not, but a lot of people have recommended it.
It's so good. And I mean, she talks about a lot of this. It's like, You Are a Badass, and she has the follow-up book, You Are a Badass at Making Money. And those books were so good. I loved listening to them. And I also loved The War of Making Art. Mm. I'm trying to think of who wrote that. I should know.
Steve Pressfield.
Yeah. Stephen Pressfield. Yeah. Super good. And then also, you know, in kind of in alignment with what we're talking about, there's a documentary on Netflix called Heal, H-E-A-L, Heal. And it is phenomenal. It's really, really good. And I'm going to recommend one more documentary, because I recommend this to a lot of people. On Netflix, there's a documentary called Stink. S-T-I-N-K. And this really focuses on humans, but it applies to animals as well. And it's a documentary I recommend to a lot of my clients, because we're so affected by fragrance, whether we're aware of it or not. But a lot of animals end up sick because of the smells in your house, whether it's your personal smell or cleaners or Glade plugins and stuff. And those two documentaries will really like help things sink in as to kind of what we were talking about here today.
Well, Rachel, thank you for those great recommendations. All those will be in the show notes. You can also contact me through my show notes page if you want that whole funnel setup I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. So all that will be in the show notes, markaberry.com/E338. And before we wrap up this episode, Rachel, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
That is a good question. You know what? I think what we need to be asking ourselves more often is, does this bring me joy? And if it does, then proceed. And if it doesn't, it's okay to let it go. Because at the end of the day, like, your life, your animals' lives are worth it. They're both worth you being happy. Yeah.
Rachel, that is an awesome question to cap off this episode. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing all of your insights with us today. So for people wondering, how can we learn more about you and just follow you on your journey?
Yeah, I'm on all of the social media things, obviously. But you can also just head over to my website if you don't do social media, rachelagusta.com. That's RachelAugusta. And there is an audio healing actually on there that people can listen to with their animals. So Mark, I highly recommend you go download it along with your listeners. Definitely. And it's free. It's right on the homepage. Download it, listen to it with your animals, your fur babies. They love it. It actually has pulled a lot of animals out of PTSD and trauma states. When dogs are freaking out over fireworks, it really helps calm them down. It's something that people listen to with animals when they're feeling sick or if they just want something to listen to. So, yeah.
Now, just for the fireworks thing, because I relate to this strongly, I have a dog. Have you ever played it during the firework or just a little after?
We do it. I've had people do it before or during or even after, and it helps calm them down. This woman, she lives in a condo and her fire alarms went off for two full hours the whole time she was gone. And when she came home, her dog was in a state of panic, like frothing, couldn't breathe because of the fire alarms were so scary. And she, like, nothing was working to get this dog to calm down. And then she remembered she had this audio of mine and she turned it on. And she said within 2 minutes, the dog's breathing had regulated, calmed down, and went to sleep. Yeah. That's so awesome. Yeah, there's binaural beats in it that work with the brain. And of course, my beautiful voice and music. And it's just really, really calming. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that goes without saying, that will be in the show notes. Definitely download it if you have an animal or if you plan on getting an animal. Rachel, I greatly appreciate you taking the time to be on Breakthrough Success. It was such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. It was so great. I really, really appreciated this time with you.